Tanya Khoury, what is going on in the world of social media besides this nonsense?
Sure, like, it's been so busy. There's so many things that I had to build, and then we whittled it down to the top 10, and I'm sure I've shortchanged you somewhere across the line, but Maya Amani, Mercy Maya Amani is the top story this week due to those two interrelated stories. The one is the funding of Maya Amani's house and car by Steinhoff or Marcus Huster, and the dissidence against Maya Amani that he spoke about within the DA. So those two stories combined give him the lead this week, coming in with 17%. What is going on? That's, you know, what's so worrying me, Howard?
Mm-hmm.
All politicians are corrupt.
Right.
And now we've set up the State Capture Commission and anti-fraud unit to expose this rot. But you're not going to find anybody cleaning politics. And if you think you are, then you're living in a dream world. So I think what's happened, and it's not been intentional, is that with the state capture inquiry and with this anti-fraud and corruption unit, it's now, and with the political landscape in our country, everybody's just picking out everything from the bottom of the bin that we all knew was there and chucking it at the media. I mean, this particular story, very damaging to the DA. I mean, Helen Zille also didn't do any favors. We'll talk about her in a minute because she's also on the top 10. But Maya Amani coming out strongly against his own party certainly didn't give the DA a good week.
Yeah, it is, it is true. And the other thing is, I find that we can't do is we can't differentiate the levels of corruption.
Nope.
So once we decide.
10 Rand versus 10 billion doesn't matter.
Which I hear on some level, but that's in a perfect world. So they always say that if, somebody in a business is prepared to steal, you know, 10 Rand, well, then they ultimately are prepared to steal 10 million Rand. But I'm not actually sure that that's the case, because we do have limits. And, you know, a lot of the studies do show that we all, what they call, there's a fudge factor. We all fudge things. But then we get to a point where we say, this isn't inconsistent with how I view myself from a moral perspective. I go no further. And the question is, how do we measure politics? Because, as you say, there's so much of this.
Exactly. This is the problem. So, I mean, are we going to sit and watch mudslinging for the next 10 years, or are we going to get on and do what we need to do? I mean, if my money's having problems within the DA, okay, deal with it. Why does it have to be put on a public platform to detract our attention yet again from what our focus is? And that's to move forward. You know, I'm not saying that the Steinhoff issue shouldn't be investigated. Absolutely, it should. Just like any other fraud and corruption. But all we seem to do is we get on the road, and then all of a sudden the wheel falls off, and then we've got to sit on the side of the road for a minute or two, and then we get on the road again, and so we go on, you know? And it's quite frustrating for me as a South African to see all this come out. I mean, another instance is this tea with Helen. Did you see that post?
Absolutely.
Oh my word, Howard. I thought she'd retired.
She needs to stop. She's actually doing significant, and you know what, in some ways she's a brilliant, brilliant woman with a phenomenal history, and has really contributed. Sadly, we're only going to be talking about it after she's dead. That's the reality of it. We'll actually see the real history of what she actually achieved during her activist days, etc. But she is really not doing her party any favors.
No, I mean, firstly, I mean, so for those in the audience that don't know, Helen Zille invited Julius Malema for tea with Helen, and that was the hashtag tea with Helen. Of course, Julius Malema is going to say no. So why even bother put that out on Twitter? Okay, the only reason is to make noise, right? And why use tea with Helen? There's the colonialism.
I was thinking exactly that.
Synonymous.
It's so true. It's like tea with the queen.
Vodka.
Ahead of Vodka Appreciation Day. Yes.
Then Malema might have attended.
but it is certainly strange.
Those two stories didn't help the DA this week. Tea with Helen comes in as number 4 on the charts this week. And really, there's nothing to see. You can just scroll on past. There's nothing to see. And then number 2, the Zondo Commission or State Capture Inquiry really hotted up this week as we saw explosive and very emotional testimony from Colonel Naidu, implicating journalists and his life in Witness Witness Protection Program. And you know, when they spoke about his life in the Witness Protection Program, this man just broke down. You can't see his face. He's obviously off screen. But you could hear this grown man sobbing his heart out and apologizing profusely for what he had done in the past. And of course, this then opened up this little story about journalists being paid that then exploded, and that comes a bit later on in the week, and that was Ranjini Mansami being named as a journalist that was paid to manipulate the media. What do you make of that story?
So, I don't know when journalists are being attacked, and I don't know what's real anymore, because you know, what we're constantly seeing is this targeting of people. It's not only journalists, it's everybody. So somebody puts their head up, they start to appear to be something, and then detractors or whomever doesn't like them, suddenly all of these, there becomes this personal attack on them. So I can't even follow the story. What does she seem guilty?
Well, certainly, I mean, because it came out with the state capture story, because Richard Mvuli has been mentioned, and of course, you know, all those details have come out. And also, because it's Tiso Blackstar, you know, Malema has punched Tiso Blackstar hard, you know. So we're all, you know, laymen South Africans don't know about publishing houses. We just know this is the newspaper or this is the platform. Now we all know Tiso Blackstar. You know, and when it comes out, when a story like this comes out, we're then automatically reminded of what Julius said, you know. And so my thought process is probably, from what I can see of the facts, probably. But if it is, well, is anything sacred anymore?
Yeah, because it brings the whole industry into disrepute, and that becomes a massive, massive problem.
Exactly, for you and for me too. Yeah. Those of us who are doing good work, we think, anyway, we're trying.
Are
going to be tarred with the same brush, which is absolutely rubbish.
Unbelievable.
And then number three, good news, yay, and such pretty pictures. The wedding of Semizi and Mohale.
Mm-hmm.
Yay.
Aww. Were you following that, Sanati?
I was. Absolutely enjoyed that. I was stuck. I was glued to their Instagram pages.
Oh,
were
you?
So
good
much
to
so,
have some
Sanati,
nice
that it's story number three. It's the third largest story in South Africa this week. So, beautiful pictures and outrageous dresses and all sorts of interesting things. And, it certainly kept me entertained. It was nice to see something different and happy for a change, you know. Very good.
But that is interesting, so, yeah. That we do want, South Africans are definitely moving towards, and I don't know if it's part of this whole, reflected by the I'm Staying Facebook page, which has got more than 400,000 members, and that's in less than a month. And you can definitely see that South Africans are saying, you know what, we actually want a little bit more positivity.
Yes, we do. Certainly, I'm Staying didn't quite make the top 10 this week. But if you were monitoring the account itself, you would see that there's almost 500,000 people now since this was last night I checked, and are coming together, all race, colors, and creeds, and talking about how, hey, South Africa's not that bad, and beautiful images being put up about South Africa, beautiful stories being told about cohesion within our country. I think it's so necessary, and I'm Staying has taken a lot of flack, sadly, from other outside sources. A lot of people saying that it's an elitist group, which it's not. I mean, I've been in the group, I've had a look around, it's certainly not.
But what makes it elitist?
Because people are saying, I'm Staying, well, where the hell are we supposed to go? You know, the only people who can say I'm not Staying are the wealthy or that have that opportunity. So I think the naming of I'm Staying is what's, I mean, people obviously haven't been in the group, because then you'd see it's not about that.
And it cuts across all races, all religions,
exactly,
everything.
Exactly.
It is just South Africans that are saying, you know what, we feel positive. This is why we feel positive. Here's a good news story. And some of the stories are rubbish, and some are wonderful, and some are, but it's just a whole collection of South Africans saying, you know what, we want to feel good about the place that we're living in.
Exactly, Howard. And don't you dare try and stop us.
100%.
Social media won't be stopped, so I don't have any fear for the I'm Staying founder. I believe you interviewed him. I saw that while I was doing the analysis. Well done, Howard. Well, how, what did he say?
No, we were trying to get him. We haven't got him yet. What I was referring to actually is a phenomenal new initiative called GovChat, and we're going to be interviewing them at 8:30 this morning, Eldra Jordan, and it's a new initiative that is launching next week. We're going to discuss it at 8:30, but it's really that it's this whole platform that allows citizens and their municipalities and sectors of government to communicate directly. So if you see a pothole and if you see something going on, you don't need to try and find out where to phone, who to phone, your counselor. It is all this interactive communication system where it's tracked. So they've got performance reviews as well, because they can say, you know, they can look at it and say, right, you know what, these things were reported. Why wasn't that done?
Why wasn't it done? So, I think people like Arta would love access to that technology.
Absolutely. 100%. It's a very powerful new initiative, and we're going to be talking to them at 8:30. They are working very closely with different municipalities. Government is on board, and it's really done with the best intentions. So I'm quite excited to chat to them about that.
That certainly leads in, Howard. I know we're running out of time, but it certainly leads into the fact that the Anti-Fraud and Corruption Unit has now been established and is on the road. Mm-hmm. So that ties in so beautifully, and that they're starting with municipalities. The Anti-Fraud and Corruption Unit. So there we go. There's a perfect match.
This slot is just too difficult. There's so much going on. We've got so much to talk about, and
Have enough time.
Yeah, I'd rather have an uninterrupted time with you that we can go through these this information instead of breaking it up like we do.
That would be wonderful, Howard. Thank you.
All right, brilliant.
So I see we're already out of time again, so almost. I'm going to quickly move forward. Madjozi, is that how you say her name? Sorry.
Yeah, Shoma Josie.
Shoma Josie really bowled us over with her appearance on the Ellen Show with John Cena. How was that?
John Cena.
I didn't see it. I didn't see this.
Well,
she
wasn't on the thing. So she's made a song titled John Cena, and she sings about John Cena. And so John Cena was on Ellen's show, and then they started playing the song, and then there's a John Cena dance that she does for the song, and John Cena was being taught how to do the dance.
Oh wow!
No way! So thank you for clarifying. Can you tell I hadn't read the story?
Yeah, well, you meant to report on our reaction to these stories. So that's interesting.
Also, the problem is hard. I mean, when you don't, can't even say the celebrity. His name, you know, you're out of the entertainment list. So, like Cena, John Cena. Thank you for that. I'll use that in other media shows.
And you'll sound like you know what you're talking about.
Yes, exactly. This is always my testing ground.
Good. Be happy that way.
Of course, SARS is back in the spotlight again for the rogue unit again, and for the corruption issues that have unfolded at the organization. Lots of reference to Praveen Gordhan, and also the hashtag in SARS trended for a great deal of this week. Now, you can't end SARS,
no,
guys. Come
stupid.
On. Let's just be realistic here. Yeah. Fix SARS is a better hashtag. And then, of course, the WhatsApp stock file. Did you see the story?
I saw it. Also, I saw it, and I didn't even know what it is.
Well, they started a stock file on WhatsApp, and then people were saying, oh, they got their 200 Rand back straight away, and then another 200 Rand or whatever.
Oy,
and it started trending on Twitter with WhatsApp stock file, and the whole of South Africa was like, guys, did you not work it out yet? Like, how long is it going to take you to work it out? But certainly WhatsApp stock file made number 9, so a big story out of nothing, to be honest. And then President Buhari came to South Africa this week to address the xenophobia against Nigeria with President Ramaphosa. And that was in the past 48 hours as well. So that story comes in at number 10. But there is so much, Howard, that we didn't address that probably should have been. Like the Amy Lee story, that particular story. Jackson Mthembu's Facebook account was hacked. We also had Trump call treason and say that you need to put alligators
in the
moats. I can't. The canal walk escalator fight, that also probably should have made the charge. Passes Daniel Ntikulu and his fake PhD. What else have I got for you? The woman singing opera in the LA Metro.
Yeah, we played that. That was incredible.
Yeah, amazing. And then Zimbabwe has no cash. And then one story that I should have made the chart, specifically given that today there's a rugby match, is Eben Etzebeth. That story just missed the bottom of the charts this week, because that story is going on now.
Story.
And then my favorite, sorry to interrupt you, my favorite, favorite story of all is Old Mutual versus Moyo.
Oh, us too. It's the South African Brexit.
The people's CEO.
Yes. The people's CEO. I swear to you, this story, though,
it really is the people's CEO, isn't it? So that's why I love it.
That is unbelievable.
You know, the Old Mutual story, of course, last week we also spoke about Peter's in or out, in or out,
yes.
in or out. But this week, did you see the advert they released?
No.
They released an advert. Oh man, I've got to find you here.
Oh,
I mean, there's a lot of calls
here
about Trevor Manuel and Old Mutual and that story. But let me see Old Mutual advert. Here it goes. Old Mutual takes out a bizarre full page advertisement in the Business Day that says the average CEO works 62.5 hours per week. Are those hours being well spent?
Okay.
Okay.
So they take out an advert saying the average CEO, so not Peter.
No, the average. The average.
Works 62.5 hours a week. Really? Not Peter.
Wow.
Are those hours being well spent? No.
Unbelievable.
Talk about the worst advertising campaign in the history of
and
an organization.
Stupid. Absolutely stupid.
Certainly. Ever signed off that copy requires some shooting.
Absolutely. Time is 7:46. Tanya Khoury, I have to love and leave you there, but we're going to have more time next week because we're going to be talking to Tanya just after the 8 o'clock news on a Friday.